Dear friends, it's my honor to introduce a dear friend of Canada, Archbishop Dr. Peter Jensen. I want to say a few things about him. It's a great honor for me and my wife for him to be staying in our home for a few days. And it just seemed wrong for us to hold on to him privately and not share or give an opportunity for others to hear from him and meet him. Because I know many of you have been praying regularly for Peter and for the whole GAVCON movement. Now, Peter is an Australian. He informed Judy and me today is Anzac Day. Did you know that? April 25th?
Yeah.
Way to go. I didn't know that. He's a devoted grandfather. In the middle of the night, he got an email from his daughter of his grandson, Jack, who played the tuba in the in a parade where they played Waltzing Matilda. So this has 24 grandchildren, and we have three. But today is Gabriel's 6-month birthday, so not only now we know it's on Anzac Day. So Archbishop Peter is a teacher in every way, and you can't spend time with him without just enjoying the benefits of his approach to thinking and life. He was principal of Moore College, a very important college in the Diocese of Sydney, later became the bishop and archbishop of the Diocese of Sydney, which, as he's archbishop, as the senior bishop of the province of New South Wales. Sydney is very famous as an evangelical strength within the Anglican Communion. In recent years, Archbishop Peter has given himself in an incredible way for the movement of what we call the Global Anglican Futures Conference and the Global Confessing Anglicans Movement. So that if you were in Jerusalem in 2008, he was the chairman and MC that led us through this extraordinary meeting. Of course, the formation of the Anglican Church of North America and the Jerusalem Declaration came out of that conference. So we are deeply indebted. I remember crying at the conclusion of that conference that we now had a place. We now had a place within the Anglican Communion. Ever since then, we have absolutely depended on GAVCON as being the fact that whatever our relationship to the Anglican Communion, and it depends who you talk to about, and even whether we want to be strongly connected, it depends who you talk to. But nevertheless, we have known that we have a place in GAVCON, which is of huge importance. First Archbishop Duncan and then Archbishop Beach have sat as primates within the GAVCON Primatial Council. Archbishop Jensen led 2008, and that was such an extraordinary meeting, and nobody knew what was going to come out of it. I can only imagine what it was like to lead that, I thank God for Archbishop Peter. Then he led us in Nairobi in 2013, and again I remember a call where he was encouraging us to consider coming, even although there had been this attack on that mall, and took great courage on his behalf to encourage folks like us to come anyway, which we were glad we did. There was just a primatial meeting, which I'm sure he'll tell us about, and the outcome of that. Archbishop Jensen, we're honored to have you in our midst. He's a very fun guy to have around, so I know you're going to enjoy meeting him, and would you come and
thank you very much, Charlie. Now all the exaggerations are now finished. And I do not say this lightly, this is not just the sort of thing you say, what a delight to be here. It's such a shame that the way that the Lord worked the world out, that Canada and Australia are so far apart. If only we had you instead of the New Zealanders. I'm only joking, actually. Yeah. New Zealanders are dear friends. ANZAC is Australia-New Zealand Army Corps, and we landed at Gallipoli together on April the 25th, 1915, and our two nations are like that. But it'd be great if we saw more of the Canadians, and what a trio that would be. But anyhow, we know you're here, and we know that so much of your history and so much of your way of thinking is the same as ours. So it's indeed wonderful to be here, and I jumped at the opportunity of coming when I had that opportunity. Not just because of that, but because also of my appreciation. Now, your chairman has lightly thrown the word hero around. No, I think of those who have made a stand within the Anglican Church here in Canada, as being the heroes. And I want to come here to honour you and honour the heroes who have stood. And frequently when I talk about GAFCON and the work of GAFCON and what's happened, I start with St. John Shaughnessy, because I know that church well, but I start with Canada, in other words. Because I say, look, here are these people, they were faced with this problem, they had to decide what to do, they made their stand. Were they still Anglican? The answer, the resounding answer for the majority of Anglicans around the world is, yes, you are. You are not alone. We see that you are the ones we want to have fellowship with, not those who have really compromised the faith. So I'm saying to you guys, I've come here to honour you and to say thank you for the stand you've taken. Thank you for the stand you've continued to take. May God strengthen your arm. Now, that having been said, you're not going to stop me there. I was a primary school teacher, and that'll be completely obvious in the way I go about things, I'm afraid. So let me just offer you a little bit of an explanation for GAFCON and what we're doing, and a little bit of information. There will be question and answer, and also a small challenge at the end. My way of thinking about this is to say, I was born in 43, so I'm 73 this year. So like a number of you here, but certainly by no means all, we have lived through a very interesting period from our parents were in the Great Depression and then the Second World War, and stretching through the baby boomers. I'm not a baby boomer, who'd want to be? until the present. And we have seen, we've seen the defeat of Nazism and that tyranny and that ideology. We've seen the defeat of Marxism and that ideology, but we've seen the triumph of secularism.
Yes.
That ideology. Mm-hmm. And whereas the other two constituted great, spiritual and moral challenges, but military challenges, secularism is a great intellectual and spiritual challenge that comes from within. It has been insidious, it has been powerful, and it is advancing in a way that is all too successful. You remember back, some of you will, back to 1967 when Time magazine published on its front cover, is God dead? Well, that question has now been answered. Yes. For so many of our contemporaries, God is dead. Not for all, but he means. And I don't believe I'm talking here about the atheists. I think the atheists are a sideshow. But the God of the Bible is dead for so many people. I don't think that no God will take his place. I think that we'll see. What we're seeing, certainly in the United States of America, but elsewhere throughout the Western world, we're seeing the floodgate open to new spiritualities, self-made spiritualities. In other words, the barbarians are back inside. The pagans are with us again. And we are living in a world which is reminiscent of those first centuries of the Christian faith. To put it another way, we have seen over these last 50 years, we've seen the gradual dusk. And I think it's true to say, from my perspective, that we've now entered the darkness of the West. That's where we are now living. And it is your children, and specifically your grandchildren, who are now going to have to struggle in extraordinary ways which you and I did not have to struggle with the darkness of the West. You have no idea, or perhaps you do, if you have children or grandchildren who are teenagers, how very difficult it is to be Christian now. It was always different. But now to be Christian and to stand and to say, no, certain things are wrong. To stand and say, no, I believe in, particularly in the area of sexual permissiveness, I believe in this, not that, is, it's almost beyond the capacity of any teenager to manage it. And it's so easy, therefore, for our Christian teenagers, let alone the non-Christians we're hoping to win, to simply collapse and in the world. One of my sons is a minister in a church in Sydney, and it's a famous wedding church, you know, people come to it for weddings. And he said to me recently, Dad, he said, you could assume that all who come, he said, are living together. But he said, you can assume that all the Christians who come are living together. Mm-hmm. He said, so far, I haven't really met two virgins who wish to get married. They're always living together. And that's just an assumption, I'm afraid. And when I say to you, well, you can say, well, it's one of those things, they'll survive. No, that in itself, the cohabitation craze, which has become a norm, is deeply damaging to the human spirit, deeply damaging to family life, and will do untold harm in generations yet to come, because cohabitation is far, far less stable, even than the sort of marriages we now have, far less stable. And people, when they get past 40 into their 50s and 60s, we're going to have an epidemic of loneliness. God's ways are best. The Bible still speaks with unparalleled power and truthfulness to our world. And the whole business of turning the back on the Bible, pulling down the shades and saying we're going to live to the drumbeat of this world is the darkness which is going to cause great pain. So when you're entering into this controversy you've had, and you've entered into, it's not a minor thing. It's not a minor church quarrel. You haven't sort of just had a dust-up in the family. You are part of huge spiritual movements. You are part of the triumph of the darkness. I trust you're part of a light in the triumph of the darkness. And you are making a stand for something that is hugely significant and important. The strange thing that you and I find so strange is how quickly the church compromised. How the church lives within its culture, of course, is one of those very interesting things. And every Christian has to find some way of living within a culture which doesn't compromise the gospel, but which is flexible enough for us to speak the gospel. We become, the Bible says, all things to all men, that we may save some. That's a biblical text. But the same Bible would tell us to make sure that we keep ourselves holy and unspotted from the world. So this tension that we feel as Christians is for all of us, and it's for all churches. It's happening to all denominations, all churches. But what we see, and unfortunately our own Anglican church in so many places has led the way, is a collapse, an utter collapse and compromise. The danger has gone back many, many years. If you want to look at why this has happened, it's gone back many, many years into the failure of teaching the Word of God. So that congregations are no longer so properly taught the Word of God that they instinctively repulse the words of the Word. Instead, the congregations, led by ministers who, alas, have been so poorly trained in theological college, that ministers and people have become absolutely, it's as if, ever heard a child with whooping cough? I hope you haven't. It's awful. If you have heard a child with whooping cough, I don't think you'd think you wouldn't vaccinate against it. It's as if we haven't vaccinated our Christian people. We haven't prepared them for the darkness. Mm-hmm. And consequently, there has been a capitulation to darkness in the churches, which is tragic for the people involved, and tragic, of course, for the world, because our business as Christians is to outthink, outlive, and outlove the world around us. But we're not equipped to do it. Well, that's the broad picture. This reminds me, as it does you no doubt too, if you're looking in biblical terms, It reminds me of that great moment. Well done, Peter. I'm such a clunk when it comes to looking at it. Oh no, it's worked. I've got it, all's well. It reminds me of that great moment in there. And I think, brothers and sisters, this passage is worth studying frequently of this great moment. He said, and Elijah said to the people, even I am left. But Baal's prophets are 450. Elijah was up against the strongest forces you can imagine. I mean, Baal to you might sound like, who could believe in such a God? You could. I would be a Baal worshipper if I were there. Because we would be victims of that world. There are 450 prophets of Baal, he said, that had all the magic on its side, all the intellect, all the power that was connected to the royal family. It would be so easy to be a Baal worshipper. And then he tells about how they're going to test the two. And I'll call upon the name of, you call on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever answers by fire, he is God. And then, of course, you know what happened. But Elijah called out to the people, and he said, choose this day who you will serve. He said, if the Lord be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, serve him. The choice between us today is just as stark. And the consequences are just as grave. That's where we are. And what our church needs, what our nation needs, for I hope you have Canada on your hearts. I have Canada on my heart, why shouldn't you? I hope you do. Is Elijah. We need Elijah. We need the spirit of Elijah. We need God to raise up Elijah to speak the word of God so that the people of God will hear. Now, having said that, remember that Elijah has his amazing success given to him by God. He rushes away and hides in a cave. It wasn't just any cave, he went to Mount Sinai, where the word of God was given. And of course, he has that encounter with God there, where God was not in the storm or the fire, or even in the still small voice. God speaks and says, what are you doing here? And remember what he says. He said, I have, remember, 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. Elijah said, I'm the only one left. The Lord said, get up, you idiot. There are 7,000 who have not bowed to me to Baal. What the Lord called for Elijah and what the Lord calls for us is what I call faithfulness. Now, sometimes people make a thing between truth and love as though the two are in opposition, which they're not. The biblical word is faithfulness. If you're a married person, I trust that you are faithful in your marriage. You've made your promises and you stick to your promises. Faithfulness combines love and truth. You are a person of truth, a person of integrity, a person of honesty. And Elijah and those who stood with Elijah were being summoned to faithfulness to the word of God. Now, in making the stand you have done with Bishop Charlie and so many others, you have made a stand for faithfulness. You will get lampooned, you have already have been. You will get persecuted, you already have been. You will get libeled and defamed, you already have been. You will be mocked and sneered at, and some of you will lose friends. These things will happen. But the cause for which we are struggling is so significant. But the cost you pay will be worth it, because it's the cost of faithfulness to the Lord God. If Baal be God, serve him. If the Lord be God, serve him. The challenge, the reverse challenge of what Elijah said. Now, GAFCON stands for the fact there are 7,000. isn't that good? Those who have taken a stand in the church here are not huge in number. each one of you, in fact, I think there are not quite 7,000 yet.
No, there's not.
We're hoping so in the next little while, but not yet 7,000. So there we are. We've only just started. But in being connected to GAFCON, you have connected yourself to 100,000 elsewhere in North America. But you have connected yourself to millions of Anglicans around the world. In fact, most Anglicans around the world who recognize you as the true Anglican. Now, who cares? Doesn't matter if you're a true Anglican or not, after all. The Lord's not going to be that interested in denominations. The truly faithful is the key. Nigeria has 20 million church-going Anglicans. How it's like that? They don't need anybody. But it was a Nigerian bishop that said to me, and I said to him, how are you getting on at the conference? He said, now we know we're not alone. Even the Nigerians, with their 20 million and their 173 bishops, took courage because they were not alone. They knew that the 5,000 Canadians were with them. You see, your stand in the face of this enormous pressure is immensely significant. And the Lord, I believe, will bless it. He's blessed it already. I believe he's going to bless it mightily. That you are being blessed by faithful Anglicans face to face with Islam. I don't know if you realize this, but the compromise that your church entered into, the Canadian church entered into, and the compromise even worse than the American church entered into, actually endangers the lives of fellow Anglicans in Africa. Because they're up against militant Islam and is able to pour scorn on their church, on our church. Oh, you're the people who embrace the sexual ethics of the West. Certainly it's evangelistic. Absolutely. No. But worse than that. You're involved in this. But you've chosen the way of faithfulness by God's grace, not because you're clever or anything like that. It's just God's mercy that he has enabled you to stand. Now, I'm hoping that your stand not only will be a blessing to many others, as it been to me, by the way. Thank you, heroes. Thank you. But your stand is a blessing to many, many other people around the world, and you will be blessed by them. Now, I'm going to conclude in just a moment, unless there was something else I was supposed to say. Is there something else I was supposed to say?
Anything about the premarital meeting?
You can ask that. Okay. It's only 3:30.
We're doing well.
But I want to conclude on this note, and then we can have Q&A, and I'll do a bit more. I want to conclude on this note. I was reading Joel recently, in the book of the prophet Joel, and it talks about multitudes in the valley of decision.
Yes.
And it talks about vision. And I'm saying to you that we are in the valley of decision, where decisions need to be taken that will affect everything. And I want to say to you that I trust that you, in your church, your newborn church, so to speak, I trust that which is new but old. I trust that you will be every single person in it will be prepared to preach the gospel.
Amen.
I trust that you will be faithfully grounded in the Bible. I trust that you will be particularly concerned with the children and their children. Mm-hmm. The prayers of a faithful grandparent are hugely successful. Some of us here who have reached grandparental stage don't realize this perhaps, but our greatest ministry is just ahead of us. Well, we're in it now. It's the prayer ministry of God's people towards the children and children that they have. I'm hoping that your church will be mission-minded. And I'm hoping, if all this sounds familiar, I hope it does. I'm hoping, I'm not sure this is the fifth, but I'm hoping this, that you will always have. Now, I'm hoping you'll have the nations on your heart. I'm hoping you'll see Senator Gingrich. You can't say already. But I'm hoping that the great nation of Canada is constantly on your heart and in your prayers. This nation, as a whole, like Australia, has taken a wrong turn. Mm-hmm. The first settlers who came here, many of them were Christian people. They knew the Lord. And they set up some amazing Christian institutions and organizations, of which I presume this is one, I think.
Yes.
And they set up very fine churches, and they set out missionaries. This church did all, this nation did all that. But I don't think that's modern Canada. I may be wrong. I'm hoping that whatever happens, you have this nation on your heart, and that you'll not be content in your prayers, in your preaching, in your churches, until you see Elijah's voice, or you hear Elijah's voice in the land, where the word of God is made clear once more, when it will be spoken with authority, and where the Canadian people can be drawn back from the darkness into which the spirit of this age has pushed them. Not just the Canadians, but certainly the Canadians. And so will you pray for your nation? Pray for your witness. In the end, all the fights and struggles you've had and so forth, good, you need to have them. But in the end, it's in order to let the gospel loose on a world connected. Why don't I pray now?
Yes, please.
Our dear God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for every remembrance of the history of this great nation. And we recognize that even from the very beginning, there were those who preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and who lived and labored faithfully for Christ in the towns and villages and farms, by setting up the Bible colleges and the theological colleges and the churches. We recognize as we walk through this land the impact of your word. And yet, our Heavenly Father, we recognize too that as through so much of the West, there is now a repudiation of your word and a darkness, even afflicting the churches. We pray, Lord, that you would spare us, save us. Raise up those who, like Elijah, will speak your word and call upon the people to repent and to turn back to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may see a huge succession of faithful Bible teaching, gospel dynamic churches. We pray that we may see, even in our time, a turning back to you in the church and in the nation. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, there's a commercial. You can't get away without a commercial, and you can't change the channel either. I was watching a program the other night. I don't know if you ever do this. I just noticed there were commercials, so I sat there and counted. There was 4 minutes of program, 5 minutes of commercial, and that went on for an hour and a quarter.
Uh-huh.
And they had 12 commercials in a row. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
It's got nothing to do with GAFCON. In fact, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. I mentioned you. I was so angry. Because I didn't want to buy any of the commercials. Now, is this available?
Yes, there's PAL.
Oh, great. Okay. I'll tell you what GAFCON needs. Can I leave this? Oh, there's not a microphone. There are any guys. Since I'm not. I wondered why I wasn't speaking so strongly into the microphone.
That was a joke.
I'm sorry. I didn't know Canadians joke like that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about Australians, I'm sorry to tell you this, that one of our methods of joking, which is not a very good one, is to insult the other person. So, you know, I look at Charlie and I say, God, you've grown a lot older than when I saw you last, or something like this. The more you love a person, the more you insult them. Let me tell you, this doesn't work very well in Africa. They don't seem to understand Australians in Africa. That's why I've had to leave. Doesn't do any good to tell some primate or other. Okay. Here's the commercial. Ready? GAFCON's a movement. It's a spiritual movement. It's a dynamic theological and spiritual movement. Not just a conference. We've had conferences, but out of those conferences comes a movement. Now, we need supporters. I'm not saying members, because you don't get a vote, but I'm asking for supporters. And I'm asking you to put your name down to become a supporter of GAFCON, which which means that you agree with the Jerusalem Declaration, which I suspect you do, and that you'll be put your name on the list and you'll receive our literature and this sort of stuff, particularly if you are on computer. We'll try to make other arrangements if you're not, but in any case, that's the idea. We've got 5,000 supporters, we need 50,000. We don't have many from Canada as yet, but we need thousands from Canada. So we're going to hand out these pieces of paper in a minute, and don't become a supporter if you don't want to. Don't feel any pressure from me, much. But if you could fill in this piece of paper and let me have it, or let Bishop Charlie have it, I'd be really grateful. And you'd be putting your sign and seal onto a movement which is tempting to lift it up in us through the Word of God. Let me say, you do not have to pay anything to be a supporter. Isn't that good? At last, an organisation that doesn't ask you for money.
God.
Who is that person?
Hello.
You can tell me her name.
Her name is Vicky Higgins.
Thank you. As Vicky has just said, stealing my best line. But in order to do our work, we need our money. We have 2 years' money, most of it raised from Australia, by the way. Don't let the Australians do everything, please. They've given us 2 years' money from foundations, and they've said, you've got to raise enough supporters who are going to help pay inch by inch so that we can do the work we need to do. And that includes employing 4 or 5 people to do all sorts of good things. I won't go into it now. So Christine and I are retired. We are poor. We are pensioners. But we give every month. And if we do it, you might be able to do too. Now, no pressure. Do as you like. You don't have to become a supporter. You don't have to. I won't be looking. But if you do, I'd be encouraged. And if you can do something financially, that'd be great.
Sorry, if I already get emails from GAFCON, I thought I signed up ages ago when it started. Does that mean I'm a supporter?
It means you're an infiltrator. Yes, if you get the supporters already, you're a if you get the emails already, you are a supporter. Who else does that? Look at the people here who are supporters already. Yes, yay. So you're in, you don't have to fill it in and give it back to me, unless you want to, just to make sure you're on the list. But no, that's fine. Vicky?
Yes, Brent.
I don't think you get the emails.
I used to get them, and then you didn't want to send them to me anymore.
I knew I shouldn't. I should know better than to try. Okay, so if you give us this, we will re-establish your name on the list. I did cut a lady out of the list, I have to say that, but she was a well-known English journalist who had a knife into us, and she was just clearly put her name on the list to get our stuff, and that's not you.
No.
So, if you did get it, please let me know and we'll re-establish it. How glad I am to ask. Wasn't that wise? Now, we have 20 minutes.
Questions that anyone would like to ask?
Yes,
David.
I'm wondering if you could comment on the latest ACC meeting as it relates to the Primates meeting. And in context, let me say that a recent headline in the Anglican Journal says ACC declines to go along with consequences, and those are the consequences from the Primates meeting. Justin Welby has said, and I quote again, the consequences of the Primates meeting have been fully implemented. The two don't seem to quite tie together, and could you comment on that, please, and also what this means for the future of GAFCON and the Primates?
Thank you. For a man who spent his life in IT, you sound like a journalist.
Was that an insult?
Did you feel loved?
I felt loved.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've just loved a man from Wales. That's marvellous. They play rugby in Wales. Not very well. Now, let me go on. Thank you for raising all that. Now, I'm going to go speedily here, and if you're not up on the latest Anglican news, you may not follow all this, but you may. GAFCON passed a motion last year which was really just extending what we do normally, saying we would not go to any more meetings of the Primates Council or whatever this. Why don't you move slightly so that you're not behind that pillar there, you two? The old primary school teacher. I'm watching. We would not go to any more meetings of the Primates or the Lambert for that matter. And we would not, if Canada and the US were there, and we would not go unless Archbishop Leach, your Archbishop, was seated as a member. Well, Archbishop Welby came back with a sort of compromise, and which was that Archbishop Leach was invited to this meeting in January, meeting of primates from all around the Anglican world, of which there's 38. At that meeting, we, from GAFCON's point of view, would have preferred it if America, Tech, and Canada had not been invited. They haven't changed, and they haven't repented. We didn't think they should be there, but they were there, but at least Archbishop Foley Leach was there as well. As the meeting went on, there was considerable discussion. A lot of the primates are new, they hadn't really followed the issues before, but the end result, and thank you, by the way, a number of you here were praying about that, in fact, probably all of you, thank you. We had over 700 GAFCON people praying. That's really important, and many others as well. Thank you. So, as the time went on, and Charlie was there, I was there. Not at the meetings, we were around and about the place. At the end of the meeting, they passed a motion which said that Tech didn't refer to Canada, just said Tech shouldn't go into same-sex marriage the way they were planning to, and that they were sort of put on the sideline of various things for 3 years. And really, what happened was that Tech received the mildest possible rebuke from the primates there, but mind you, 27 of the primates voted for this, the mildest possible rebuke for the worst offender, Tech, which has gone further than the Canadian church so far, Tech, the worst offender, the mildest rebuke, by the biggest number, however, 27 of the primates voted for this. Now, I think the best way to see it is this. Tech and Canada should repent. They should come back and put their lives under the word of God. Mm-hmm. There needs to be the deepest possible repentance by these churches in a wholesale way because they've gone so far away from the word of God. And this is a sort of a little message. Hello. Why don't you start that? Immediately from the American side, the Tech side, all the response was, no, who are you to tell us to do this? Mm-hmm. And we are going ahead anyway. And at the next General Convention, I think they're going to bring in liturgies for same-sex marriages. So really, it was a mild rebuke. They can't say they were bashed on the head. But the mildest rebuke was immediately repudiated. Now, the test for this came at the ACC meeting, a meeting of 150 Anglicans. ACC, in my opinion, is a pretty unimportant meeting. But it was a meeting of Anglicans. The Archbishop was there, Archbishop Welby. It's in his interest to say, look, we made sure that they followed the letter of what this rebuke was. You know, they're not allowed to be in this committee, they're not allowed to do this, that and the other. And at some levels, that was true. However, during and after the meeting, the Tech representatives there kept trumpeting, nothing's happened to us. We're just, we're doing what we want to do. We are voting on all the issues. So, on the one hand, Archbishop Welby, I'm sure not a liar, I'm sure when he says, yes, we did follow the consequences, no doubt that was true, but that's not how it felt to the Americans. And they are boasting about the way in which they took no notice of this. The important thing here is not whether Archbishop Welby is technically correct, it's whether the Americans feel rebuked, and there's any sign of repentance. Answer?
No.
None at all.
No.
There is no repentance. And if that is the case, then I'm not surprised. If that is the case, there's no repentance at all, then we're where we were. Namely, in a deeply divided Anglican communion, where many of the communion, most of the communion, Anglican communion, can't have fellowship with Tech or the Church of Canada, where the Church of England is gradually moving also in the same terrible direction, let me say. The Church of New Zealand is even ahead of it, where we're seeing all these things happening, and what we're seeing is more of the same, Now, I hope that gets to the point that you were raising and answers the question the briefest possible way. But I think the January meeting has already been shown to be a complete failure. So, first name, if that's okay.
Well, thank you. My name's Andre. And just to give you a little background, I love what you prophetically were saying, Peter, in your opening remarks. And I think some will understand why I'm saying that. I was ordained in 1978, I think it was, at St. James Cathedral in downtown Toronto. I spent all of my ministry in the Diocese of Toronto, so since 1978 till 2010,
I was the General Synod of that year.
Pardon?
The General Synod of that year.
Yeah, and I can go into great detail in terms of our parish and the immensity of our struggle trying to be pro, not anti-gay, but pro-life and pro, anyway, being positive. And we actually won the day because one of my guys in 2007 put together a motion on the floor at St. James, where there were 600-700 delegates who were all geared to say, finally, Toronto is going to get its peace. It's just that we're going to move ahead with the gay agenda. I stood before 700 delegates, Peter, shaking with this motion that basically said, Anglicans, it's not about whether we're for or against, because that's the problem. I just simply said that it's a question of procedure. And this is one of my guys who put this together, who's brilliant. Just one of my lay people. And I had the awesome privilege of shaking there with this piece of paper. One of the bishops, just before I went up, said, and they saw the two pages, said, don't you think it's too much? And that added to the,
of course,
my fear. But anyway, I spoke, and lo and behold, in 2007, in the Diocese of Toronto, this little motion that basically said, hey, let's adhere to procedure, because Anglicans are about procedure. And you know, Peter, the vote was not to go ahead. Mm-hmm. When everything was geared to that moment to say, we're for it. Mm-hmm. One motion on the floor that basically was of the Spirit, and basically said, most of them said, we understand procedure. That's why it went to 2010. Our little parish was able to change the votes and the hearts because of whatever reason that God led. So the point I'm making is this. For 40 years in the Diocese of Toronto, we talk about pain. I was thrown out because of, I won't go into any details, but the point is that, we're at not just a crossroads, but we have to be Elijah. Because right now, I don't know if you know, but in New York City, they are breaking ground for the Tower of Baal. Right now, as we speak, they're breaking ground to sacrifice children in New York City, and a huge tower, not just a small thing, but a huge tower in the downtown, and which is another part of England, I think, that they're actually doing this. Anyway, I just want to say this, Peter.
No, stop.
Okay.
What's the question?
Okay, the question is that I think what we have to do is recognize the desperation of our times. And prophetically, we just heard a word last week that was basically saying we have to be public.
Is there a question at the end?
The question is that are we prepared, and you're asking, can we have that kind of support to be the people that are prepared to go public to declare the message of the gospel?
Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. And thank you for the background, which of course I don't have, being a foreigner. And I'm grateful for it, because I knew nothing about what you've just said. But you see, dear friends, are we prepared? Most people don't go to church without fights. They have a simple faith in Jesus. And they simply feel, all I want is to have my children baptized here in the You can understand why people don't stand. But I'm saying to you, thank you for standing. I'm sorry to say that you're going to have to do it more and more and more. And you have to get other people to share with you. You have to go to find the 7,000 who are going to stand with you. I don't think we're going to turn the civilization around anytime soon. But I do know the early church started with 12 and the Lord Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And in 200 or 300 years, by standing and doing things that the rest of the world was not going to do, like rescuing babies off dark. You know that they used to throw babies out in the ancient world. Mm-hmm. Just put them on the garbage tip, wrong sex. And the Christians would go along and save the babies. And the Christians would go into the towns and take care of the sick when there was plague. And it was the Christians who changed the world, ordinary people. So that's who we're going to have to be. Thank you. That you just run. It's going to require that courage. Someone else? Some other question for me? Why don't you ask me about Nairobi?
What about Nairobi?
Oh, what about Nairobi?
I was going to ask that.
Why did you ask that? Well, the Primates had their first meeting after the meeting in January, this last week in Nairobi. Thank you for praying for GAFCON. Thank you very much indeed. We need your prayers. Does everyone here know what I mean by balsa wood?
Yeah.
The next generation doesn't understand. But anyhow, balsa wood. GAFCON is like a balsa wood jumbo jet. Trying to land it is just as scary, believe me. Because we're so culturally different. The people in the room come from South America, from Asia, Myanmar, from Australia, from North America, England, and different parts of Africa. And the different parts of Africa are also culturally different. Getting people to unite, even in the Lord Jesus, and to work together is very, very difficult. And we're always struggling to do that. And yet God has blessed us. I can't begin to tell you how many times he has spectacularly blessed our people. I'm not into that sort of thing much. I just chug along. And to see the Lord do something spectacular when you're just chugging along is all the more amazing. And he just keeps doing it. And he has kept this movement going using the most inadequate people for these last 8 years. And I think he is in it. And Nairobi, okay, we had our stresses and strains, but we got together and I was praying for unity, the unity of the Primates after the... There were some disagreements in January about how we should proceed, and I think that unity was re-achieved in Nairobi as they thought about what they were doing. They've agreed once more to have the next GAFCON in 2018. I'm not going to tell you where it is because we're just checking out to see that it'll be okay, but probably June 2018. We're not going to, we're not waiting for the Lambeth Conference or something like that. The Lambeth Conference is now old-fashioned and out of date. Mm-hmm. We've got to be the communion. It doesn't mean we're dividing the communion, not at all. It just means that we are being the Anglican communion, doing what the Anglican communion should be doing, namely preaching the word of God, singing the praises of God, praying in the name of God, and evangelizing. So that's what we're doing. We've set up a, I don't know if you know this, we've set up a missionary society in England. Makes you think, doesn't it? The Africans and the Asians and the South Americans have set up a missionary society in England. And they had a lot of talk about that and supporting and strengthening that as part of the work. Okay? And of course Archbishop Beach was there and we talked about the situation in North America and all those sort of things. The Primates Council consists of some very, very wise people. Very courageous. Some people of extraordinary strength, intelligence, but godliness, and it's a great privilege to serve. Oh, one of the things you can pray about, and we'll finish here, very important thing to pray about, is that I will leave. That I will leave GAFCON.
Oh.
Because we need a successor. We can't have a movement with a global, with a general secretary who's 73 next birthday. That's not wise. Doesn't mean I'll leave GAFCON. I'm deeply embedded in it, but it's not right that I should be the leader of it. But finding someone, the reason they chose me in the first place is that I'm an Australian. I'm so far away, they knew I couldn't do much harm. and the Australians have not been colonialists, or at least they didn't realise we had been. We're not Americans and we're not Brits. I could have chosen a Canadian, but they chose me. But finding someone to replace me, not because I'm a wonderful person, but finding that really we need an African probably to replace me. But if you pick the African, they always say, oh, you can't have him. So there we are. So finding a replacement for Peter Jensen is fairly urgent, and I think it needs to happen. I think it needs to happen soon. And I'd like you constantly to pray that we find the right person to take my role and push the whole thing forward. Okay? You can also pray we have enough money to do it. But that's another story. Charlie, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. You heard the advertisement. Please sign up as a member. Secondly, there is a pile of the communique from